Now, for weeks now, and weeks, we've been talking about promises that God has given to us, with the idea that with these promises, you're going to be feeding yourself spiritually if you take these promises and apply them in your life, claim them for your life, and be feeding yourself. I even gave you spoons so that you could feed yourself. How are we doing? Are you growing? These are rhetorical questions. You don't have to answer out loud. Just answer them to yourself in your head. Are you growing? Do you feel a difference between yourself and God as you're taking these promises into your life? And are they making a difference? For you see, today's promise is probably the most important promise that we can get from God. It's probably the best gift any of us could ever receive. Can you think of a gift that you got that you thought was the best gift? Maybe you still have it. Maybe you're wearing it. Maybe as a child you said, oh, I've got to have this and I'll never ask for anything else because it's the bestest. Because that's the way you said it when you were a little kid. It's the bestest of gifts I could ever get. But when we look at our lives and our relationship with God, we realize that the best gift that we could ever receive in our lives is the gift of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness that goes along with that. It's an incredible gift that's given to us completely as a gift. I remember years and years and years and years and years ago when I was involved in this program at church, and this was the Southern Baptist church that Darlene and I went to as teenagers and young adults, and I was part of a team of folks that would go out visiting the visitors that came to church. We would then go and visit them. And part of the purpose of that visit was to share with them Jesus Christ so that they had an opportunity in their lives to say, yes, I want Christ in my life. I want that forgiveness. And I'm always remembering one of the illustrations they shared with us. And they said, think of forgiveness and that gift of forgiveness like you would a parent giving a baseball glove to their son. Dad walks up to the son and says, son, here's the baseball glove. I got this for you. It's for you. But, you know, in order for you to have that, I would like you to wash my car every other Saturday, and I need you to take the trash out every week. Well, you see, now the son is paying for that glove in actions. It's no longer a free gift. The son is having to do something for it. Where in reality, the free gift of forgiveness from God is just that, free. You don't have to pay for God's graciousness to forgive you of the things that you do wrong in your life. God just gives it to you when you say, God, forgive me. There's no taxes to pay on it. There's no receipt you have to claim. There's no ticket to turn in. It's completely free. And it comes to us free because Jesus has already paid for it. When you receive your forgiveness for whatever, the first day you had a relationship with God, the last day of your life, any time in between, when you say to God, God, forgive me, God freely does forgive us. And we can be excited about this gift because when we talk about God forgiving, there's a huge package that forgiveness comes in. Now, you might be thinking, well, God can't forgive me. I mean, my sins are so big that there's no way God can forgive me. God doesn't have a size quota on the gift. God doesn't have a requirement that says, I will only forgive gifts, sins that start with the letter B. Not sure what sin would start with the letter B, but I just picked it out of the air. God doesn't do that. God doesn't say that gift's too big, so that's got to wait until next Tuesday. That gift's small enough. I can do that one today. God forgives them all, no matter the size of them, because it's not the size of the gift, but it's our heart that comes to God and says, God, forgive me. Now, granted, you might have to deal with the consequences of your sin. That might not go away. You know, there are times where we do things wrong. You know, maybe you hurt someone's feelings. And you've asked God to forgive you for the sin of hurting that person's feelings. But have you dealt with the individual and said to them, I'm sorry? See, that's the consequence of the sin, is you still have to deal with the one you hurt. That doesn't get blown away or taken away. The consequences are still there. And you know that you never have a sin that could be so small that God, you can think God will not have to deal with it. Little white lies are still little lies. They're still sins. There's also isn't a statute of limitation on sin. You can be carrying a sin around for years because you haven't said to God, forgive me. Nor is there any sin that you can commit that you can hide from God. God knows everything. God's just waiting for you to say, God, forgive me. So let's say, again, you have to deal with these consequences. Maybe you go out and you get drunk. Now, I know that this is controversial. Some churches will just think what I'm saying is so unbelievably untrue. Drinking is not a sin. Hear me again. Drinking is not a sin. Getting drunk and being out of control, that's when it's now become a sin. But for you to sit someplace and have a glass of wine, a sip of a mixed drink, a beer, having a drink is not the sin. Getting to the point in your drunkenness where you cannot control yourself or you do something dumb like get in a car and start driving and then you hit somebody or something, that's when we now have a sin problem going on and you now have consequences. Even, you know, having one drink, you're probably not even going to have a hangover unless it's one mighty big drink. And some of these bars sell some mighty big drinks. But it's the consequences when you move from having the drink into drunkenness. And but you know what? Whether you are, even if you are drunk and you do something wrong, God will still forgive us. God will forgive every single one of us. You know, we might have to deal with the fact that we hurt some person or we hurt our car, or now we realize, oh my goodness, my car insurance rates are going to go up. Those are all consequences of the sin. When God promises to forgive us, God is not promising to take away all the consequences except for eternal damnation. When we go to God and ask for our forgiveness of sins, I truly believe that there's going to be a time where we're at the judgment. And Jesus is going to be able to step in and say, well, God, all of their sin have been forgiven. They've come to me and they have asked for forgiveness. And through my death, I gave them the forgiveness. They have no sins for you to judge anymore. They're all gone. on. There's nothing to judge here. And God might look up in God's little book there, and God is going to see your name and an empty page. Because, see, when we ask God to forgive us our sin, if there had been a writing down of a list of your sins, once you ask, it was like it was written in invisible ink. And once you ask for that forgiveness, it just disappears. And no amount of lemon and sticking in the oven to warm up is going to, I can see Greg over here saying, invisible ink, we're going to put it in the oven and heat it up and it's going to show up again. But no amount of lemon and heating in the oven is going to bring that invisible ink back. God forgives completely. There's no partial forgiveness. Well, I'll forgive you a little bit of it. God forgives us all of it. When we receive Christ into our lives, when we ask for forgiveness, we have complete and utter forgiveness to the point that God doesn't even remember the sin. Now, you might not believe that when you ask for forgiveness, you really got it. So you go back later and you say again, God, you remember when I did X, Y, Z? And I know last week I asked your forgiveness, but I'm going to ask you for forgiveness again. And God's up there going, huh? What are they talking about? I don't have any sin here. Because it's already gone. God fulfilled God's promise that when we ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. Period. End of it. God does not deal with the sin in our lives like we sometimes deal with our own partners. Imagine you and your significant other, your brother, your sister, someone in your life, you're getting into an argument. And you're arguing over some issue that you've probably dealt with before. And in the middle of the argument, one person says to another, well, do you remember 10 years ago, you left the dirty dishes and you didn't wash them. And when I came home, they were still 10 years ago. Now, 10 years ago, you dealt with this. And you apologize for not doing the dishes. But yet, they bring it back up again. It's what's known as called kitchen sinking in the psychiatric world. When two people fight and someone brings back something from ancient history, throws it in the sink as if it needs to be washed again. Whereas with God, the dishes are gone. The sin is gone. God doesn't bring up that stuff again and again. You know, mindful of Peter who asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive my neighbor? 70 times 70? Man, that's a lot of forgiving. Yet all God's got to do is forgive us once, and it's gone. That forgiveness is permanent. This is probably a hard statement for us to deal with. I get concerned sometimes when I hear people say, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget. And I always wonder, have they truly forgiven if they're still hanging on to that incident? Now, that's not to say, if you know that going someplace is a temptation for you and causes you to sin, don't go there anymore. Remember that place and don't go there. We need to learn from our times of sinning and not keep repeating the same thing. Let me give you an example. Years ago, it's been a number of years now, Darlene and I were here for church, and Darlene left her purse sitting on the table in the office. And while we were all in here in church, someone walked into the office and helped her to her wallet. Now, Darlene has been able to forgive that person because we never found out who it is. But instead of saying she's going to forgive and never forget, what she does now is she locks her purse up in my office. She's taken precautions. It doesn't mean she hasn't forgiven the person. She just doesn't leave it in the same place. It's like that person that walks down a road and sees a hole, and they keep walking, and they walk right into it. The next day, they come again, they see the hole, and they still fall into it, until finally they realize, maybe I should go another way, so that I don't fall into the hole. Don't let that hole become you. And I love the scripture that we're promised in Psalms, that our sins, when they're forgiven, are taken as far as the east is from the west, and are remembered no more. That's another promise regarding sin. God remembers them no more, takes them away. They're permanently gone. Better than an eraser on a chalkboard that still leaves like little dusty marks behind. It's as if nothing was ever written at all. And God's forgiveness is never ending. We don't have to worry about whether this is a lifetime warranty or not, because when God forgives, God forgives. We don't have to worry about it being brought back up again, or that God's forgiveness runs out over time. There's no little bell that's going to go off. Oh, you've had that forgiveness now for six days, 24 hours. That's the end of the forgiveness. We don't forgive anymore. That doesn't work that way with God. Once forgiven, that's the end of it. And an important element of God's forgiveness is that we too are to share that forgiveness. We too are commanded to forgive others just as God has forgiven us. Forgive that one that has done something to you. Forgive them for what they've done. You know, the scriptures tell us that when we come to communion, if we have something against another, we should leave the altar, go to that person and make it right, and then come back. Not go away and not come back, but to go and make it right and then come back. The forgiveness that we offer to other people is a mark of our relationship with God. It shows the forgiveness that we know that we have received from God on our own. Forgiveness also changes us. We are not the same people when we've been forgiven, because it's like having a burden taken away when we can ask for forgiveness and receive it. Again, that story of someone walking down the sidewalk, we need to avoid situations that put us into places where we're going to sin. Don't go there. Don't do them. You know, if going to place XYZ is like your bad nemesis, don't be in that place. Find somewhere else to spend your time. And then call a prayer to help you deal with them. See, this promise that God makes us for each and every one of us is probably the easiest promise to put into place. It's probably the easiest promise for us to put to work the power of forgiveness in our lives. Because all it takes is a heartfelt prayer that says, God, forgive me. That's it. That's putting the power of the prayer into place. That's putting God's promise into action. God, forgive me. Because just in those few words, there is so much you're doing in those few words. You're acknowledging the power of God in your life. You're acknowledging the existence of God's importance for your life. And you're acknowledging the fact that there is nothing that you can do on your own about your sin. You can't work it away, you can't pay it away, you can't give it away, but you can be forgiven of those sins through God. And I hate to say this, but it's probably a prayer that each and every one of us needs to say every day. Because there are just so many things that, you know, we're driving in our car, and some guy cuts us off, and And there's probably a few words in there that weren't nice little words that we need forgiveness for. We see someone, oh, that person just drives me crazy. Time to ask for forgiveness again. You know, and the best thing, just as Jesus told Peter to forgive someone 70 times 7, that applies to us too. God will forgive us over and over and over. I mean, we can get to the point where we think it's just, oh my gosh, can I ask God to forgive me of this one more time? Yes, because the other 99 times you ask for forgiveness, God's given you the forgiveness and it's already gone and taken care of. God's not keeping track. So as far as God's concerned, this is the first time you've come with this sin. So ask for that forgiveness. And God will keep responding with saying, you are forgiven. Think about those times in your life where you've been wronged or you've wronged someone else. The easiest part is asking for God's forgiveness. The harder part is asking another human being for forgiveness. Because as human beings, we're not always as quick to say, yes, you're forgiven, and forgetting it. And I know that's a hard concept when we think of things like world events. How do we forget? We forget by acknowledging them, but not living as if they're still burdening us and holding us down. This morning, I would like us to take a moment in prayer to praise God. I would like us each to take just a moment in silence, as soon as I stop talking, to say to God, forgive me. And you know what needs to go on the end of that. I don't. But God, forgive me for. And as you say that, at the same time, rejoice, knowing that as it exits your lips, as it comes across your mind, as it slips through those cracks of your brain, God instantaneously has forgiven us. So let us take a moment of silence to pray for forgiveness. Amen. Praise the Lord for forgiveness. Let us rise as we are able and join together in singing our hymn of response.